that big was Ben drinking his beer. Welcome to Shut Up and Ride, sponsored by Charles Owen, and apparently Corona Lager at the moment. But
hey, it could be. We're open. We could do the drink sponsor.
Yeah, I know we could, because I have to put up with you two. I could definitely do with a drink sponsor.
We're all together. Yay! How exciting is that?
We are. Welcome to the pod. I can't remember what episode we're on. I need some sleep. But episode 4,000,002. Ben is back. Simon is here. His hair is still fabulous. I'm going to start with Simon, because Ben, you've got so much to fucking unpack that you could keep drinking your beer for a second. Simon, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much. How are you, Jenny?
I'm all right.
Are you a little bit less stressed now? Because we annoy you, don't we? What's annoyed you this week? I think it's probably two things, and that's Simon and Ben. I'm just hazarding a guess there.
You slightly less than Ben.
Your Honour, in my defence, I cannot be told off for not knowing the information in messages. No, not replying to messages that I've not read. It's not my fault.
That's an interesting excuse there.
How can I reply to it if I've not read it? Do you know? Absolutely.
Literally the worst human on earth.
Yeah, but you love him though, Jenny. You love him.
Love's a strong word, Simon. Love's a strong word.
Do you hate me more for being bad at responding to messages or for recording the Charles Owen launch podcast with no headphones, microphone and in the wind?
No, that I can forgive you for, because wearing your Terminator sunglasses made me laugh quite a lot. So, no, that was all right. The fact that, no, you did, yeah, that was all right. I think what was more upsetting was the fact that it was absolutely pissing it down for everyone else and you were in bright sunshine.
With your sunglasses on, yeah.
So, Ben Atkinson, the mysterious Ben Atkinson, if that's even your real name, because you don't reply to bloody messages ever, what are you going to be like when you have a baby?
Well, I'll be even more reliably myself.
Mate, I think you're going to be absolutely exhausted most of the time. You'll be like there with like little matchsticks in your eyes.
But Jenny's right. Got children, and she always looks so bright and cheery and fresh and optimistic.
Well done, Ben. That was a very good one. Oh, Jenny, you look so pretty today.
I hate both of you. You're so mean to me. Someone's got to keep this podcast on the straight and narrow.
Thank goodness for Charles Owen.
Thing is, I don't like, I think, feel like this is why you need to wear a hat. You've fallen on your head too many times.
I felt, well, I tell you what, when I felt, so I, as we all know, I've just got back from my American adventures, and
yes,
part of
we
my
do.
American adventure was I got asked if I'd like to Roman ride, which is standing on the backs of horses, a pair of horses. Roman ride a pair of 18, I think they were 18.2 and 18.3 Percherons.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, of course, me being me, I hadn't seen the horses. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, this is going to be the best fun in the world. And then when I saw the horses, a little bit of poo came out, to be honest. They were massive. Not just tall, because like I was like, oh, I've seen George ride dressage horses that are like 18.2, but it was like if you took four dressage horses and stood them side by side, and that would be like the width of one Percheron. They were just massive. So I did do it, and it was terrifying, but it was.
So we're talking like Shires,
like yeah, but like bigger than Shires.
Wow.
Like, massive. Yeah, it was one of my bucket list items. But do you know when you're... Do you know when someone asks you something in a bar at, like, whatever time in the morning it is, and then...
You think it's a brilliant idea at the time, and then the next day you're like, whoa.
Yeah, and then you see the size of the Percherons. That was, yeah, that was definitely a scary moment. It was just bizarre. Like, anyone who's ever ridden a heavy, they're so different anyway, aren't they? How they move and like their stride lengths and stuff. And the one thing I don't know, naively, they were so hot. Like, you think heavy horses, you think like big steady horses, don't you? And they were absolutely like lightning under my feet. It was awesome. But I was, do you know, one of those things, I'm sure you've both had this, but Simon, definitely with all your cross country, that those moments when it's really fun, now it's in the past and it went well.
Yeah, definitely. I know that feeling very well.
Yeah.
So that was epic. But what was the main reason for you being over there? I still don't actually really know. Sorry.
So there is a company called the...
What do you mean? You don't follow Ben on his social media?
Maybe not.
There's a company called the ILHA, which is the International Liberty Horse Association. And they held their finals at the Kentucky Horse Park. So it was a big 4-day show. So you have different people like myself, Dan James, Steve Rother, from around the world, who are different sort of people that teach what we do, sort of giving clinics and demos and talking on stage. They had Amber Marshall from Heartland came over. And then they have all the competitors, you know, like you would at a jumping or a dressage competition or eventing, but it's all Liberty. So like starting with the lower levels through the first few days and then going all the way up to like the, on the Saturday night, we have the freestyle. So like the dressage freestyle, they do a 12 participants. They do a compulsory test in the morning and they can get, you know, there's 50% of the marks up for grabs in the morning of the first day on the compulsory. And then on the evening, on the weekend, they have the freestyle where they have 5 minutes to show their best stuff. And like what I would say is really cool about the freestyle is one of the differences from the dressage freestyle is, yeah, you have to, you know, write your test and what you're going to do, but you also not only get marked on your music, but your lighting. So you can design whatever colorful lighting, spotlights, you know, basically you've got 5 minutes, make this the best performance that you possibly can. Is the game.
And when you say freestyle, is it like literally you can do whatever you like, or are there rules?
No, so the only rules are, so you can do whatever you like. So you can even bring in other, so you have to do the compulsory on your own with one horse, and that has to be a horse that you will use in the freestyle. In the freestyle, you can have you and as many horses as you like. You can have as many other people in there as you like. So one girl did the Wizard of Oz. So she was riding as Dorothy, and one of the horses was dressed up as the lion, and another one was the Scarecrow, and then she had a friend on the floor dressed as the Tin Man. It was, yeah, they did all of it. They even had the little dog that came in as Toto. Like,
my pretty.
But because it's all about spectacle and performance, people also build props. You know, they'll bring in like giant things that they've made and stuff. You can invite other people to come and help you in your freestyle, whether they be riding or working Liberty or on the floor. But the danger is every single person and animal in the arena counts towards the final mark. So like,
oh
yeah. So last year there was a girl who opened her freestyle on her own with this one horse, and she might have won it. But then towards the end of her act, she had another girl come in so they could do a double act with two people and two horses. And the other girl was a disaster. And so I had to really mark down her test, which felt awful because I knew who the main competitor was, but they couldn't get the good marks that they deserved because it's really cool. I mean, the audience love it because you don't know what's going to come into the
ring. You have to pick a really good team. You have to have the right people behind you to make it work.
Like, yeah, I'm too much of a control freak. I'd have to go on my own. I couldn't destroy any friendships. If I went in there and someone else messed it up, I'd be furious.
Imagine if we did it with him.
I reckon, Jenny, you would be exactly the same. You'd be like, no, no one else can do it. It's me and me alone.
I think I'd be all right with Ben. I'm not sure I'd be able to control you, Simon.
You totally could.
You'd be off just hugging horses in a corner.
The woman who won this year was absolutely amazing. So her theme was The Voice. And she had three different little Shetlands that came out and stood on little pedestals that were like the judges' chairs. And then she started playing guitar and singing.
Wow.
And then had chosen like funny voiceovers from each of the three judges, had dressed the Shetlands up like the three judges, and then each Shetland would come out and like do bits of tricks and stuff with her while we had the voiceover of like the proper people from The Voice. And then like all of it came, oh, it was just, it is bonkers. You know, you never, like, there was another lady who did How to Train Your Dragon, who had three horses dressed as dragons. Amazing. And then she was had like a sword and shield and was doing all things with them. And there was even a lady that did a performance where her and all three horses she was working with were dressed as the, I don't even know what you'd call them, the Transformers, like Megatron, Decepticon, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah, robots in disguise.
Robots in disguise, yeah. It was, I just love it because it's, you never know what's going to happen. And it's the hardest thing to judge because of that. Because I was judging as well this year.
And are there many people watching? And can we view any of these videos? Like, I want to see it.
I'll see. I don't know if the live stream's still up. There were thousands of people watching. Yeah. Loads.
And do they do this? Do they do this in the UK? Is there a similar competition in the UK for this?
Soon.
Coming soon. Watch this.
This
space.
Was my second year going out to the Liberty Festival in Kentucky. So I could meet Dan and Elizabeth James, who run it all. And you know, just get involved in that way. And so actually I had a 7-hour meeting with my business partner Larissa yesterday, and part of that was saying whether, you know, looking into if we could put on a competition over here. That doesn't mean that it definitely will happen, but where we would love to, like we've said, you know, my big thing is we talked about on various podcasts about how people would love to compete bitless or bridleless and, you know, get more of that out there. So what we'd be looking at doing is, yeah, hosting an ILHA Liberty competition. But if we're going to hire the venue and do that, then also, you know, put on some dressage tests and stuff with like, you know, proper judges, but have it so that if you want to compete bitless, you can. If you want to have a go at it in a neck rope, you can. Like, and just see, show, prove it can be done.
I feel like if you were going to do something like this, and this is where maybe we could team up with you guys, because for me, the step from what I've done is normal dressage and eventing and whatever to complete Liberty, that step for me is too big a leap. That for me feels such a huge jump.
And that, Jenny, is why you need to scan this QR code and then join BAM.
And do BAM. Oh, for fuck's sake. Yes. I had a look. I was like, he hasn't given me a discount code or anything. You can poke it. You let me have a free entry, Ben, I'll join. But if you said to me, there's a section for complete Liberty people, but also a section for someone who wants the comfort of a bridle, but maybe take their saddle away, or I could ride and do it in a hackamore. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, a transitional between the two. So you're opening it up to everybody, if that makes sense.
This would be almost like an exhibition where obviously people would actually be competing and it would be open to anyone who's already sort of into this in this country. Of course, it's open to anyone, obviously. This hypothetical event. but the idea is that if people are interested, if people come and they like what they see, then we'd organise more events and then also organise clinics and stuff to train towards those goals. And even like, you know, like we've even spoken about the concept of series of clinics leading up to a goal. Do you know what I mean? So if you had a goal to compete in one of those tests, doing the Liberty test, the Liberty patterns, or the ones where we still have the horse on a line, or the bridleless competitions, then offer people sort of the structure and guidance. Because often when people book onto a clinic and it's brilliant, but then they're on their own again. So then maybe we've even spoken about this idea of packages where you could have, say, 4 or 5 clinics throughout a year spread out evenly that finish with the competition at the end, so that you can really sort of help people guide through that.
Yeah.
I feel like as well, we need to find a place to start off. You know, your idea of having a dressage test where you may be looking at the different types of movement, so it's not necessarily as extravagant, and just getting some an FEI judge along and saying like, what is it we could do with dressage to improve it and make it so you get awarded more points for a more relaxed frame.
Firstly, I'd need to more surround myself with people that know more about what they're looking at than myself, definitely.
Yes.
But the big thing to me would be, I'd love to hold a competition where horses are judged on correct movement, not extravagant movement, if that makes sense. So the movement's being performed correct.
But also, like, the how their attitude to stuff. Like, one of the things that annoys me the most with my dressage stuff has been that I've ridden horses that aren't really built properly for dressage, and they will try really, really hard, and they'll not make mistakes, but they will still get marked way down below a really amazing moving horse that's actually probably not been as well behaved. And I find that really frustrating for the horse. Yeah, and I'd love it if I don't know how you would make that work like that, but you know, I'd like them to be rewarded when they try really hard.
Yeah,
more so.
I totally agree, and the fact that you're not allowed to talk to your horse during a dressage test, whereas kind of why not be allowed to talk to a horse during a dressage test?
I've got so little experience with competition that George was. Died of embarrassment with me when we went to is it Dansk Vormblod in Denmark, and this big dressage competition we're performing out there, and I was watching this person ride this test, and obviously it's silent, and then they went into this passage down the center line, and this horse looked amazing, so me just instantly was just like, woo, yeah, yeah. Like, started applauding and cheering, and was like, yeah, go on. And George is just looking at me like, will you just be quiet or leave? Because I'm so embarrassed. You are not allowed to make a sound. You can get people in trouble. I was like, I was just so into it. She came down the center line at the end in this passage. I was like, go on, little horse. That's it. That's not allowed, apparently.
No, not encouraged. Well, I feel like we need to get an FEI judge on, or a high-level judge who can basically say what it is they're expecting. Sorry, getting rid of my dog because he's flapping his ears around. What is expected from a dressage test at that level? The kind of thing you guys do at Liberty, and how can we incorporate differences to change everything for the benefit of the horse?
And equally, from the same side of it, I'd love someone, if they were like a high-level judge of that standard and calibre, to come on, so that, because maybe that person who we're thinking of, I don't have anyone in mind, but say that person's listening to this podcast now, and let's say they're listening to this and they hear some of our remarks that we make, and they're like, you guys, it's so frustrating because there's an explanation to why things are done the way they are. And yeah, I think I'd also, as much of us like to say, why can't we have X, Y, and Z in the future? I'd love for someone to actually, for them to have a voice to explain the constraints that they're in and stuff. Because obviously we're going to ask the stupid questions, naive questions, that the public, like all of us who aren't involved at that level. And so it'd be great to, yeah, get that side of the story. Because I wouldn't, going off how the horse world works and going off how business often works, I would guess that the judges probably want the same things that we all want. And that there's red tape and paperwork standing in the blumming way.
Yeah.
More than likely.
I feel like everybody wants change and wants, like, dressage horses especially, I think, feels like that's the way. But I think the show jumping horses, well, I think all horses, I think everybody wants to see a change. It's just there is absolutely no clue on how to do it. And it feels like the federations are so closed off and not talking about it again already. It was just we're going to do disciplinary stuff with any of these riders, but I don't feel like anyone's then none of them are actually coming out and talking about it. This is what we're doing, this is how the process is going to work.
Saying no one's leading the way.
No, for the people who are not high up and in the know, I'm sure the top riders all know what's going on, like in their respective disciplines, some of them. But it feels like it's the people who actually love horses and want to support the top riders. No information feels like it's being trickled down of what's happening.
Yeah.
And that's probably then why they turn to scapegoating and calling riders out on social media platforms.
The craziest thing that I saw recently, and I can see the logic from an event standpoint, And luckily, I can't remember the name of the event, so I can't drop them in it. But George showed me it, and it was a high-level dressage event. And they banned public, not only press, but banned press and public from the warm-up arena. And I was like, oh, yeah, guys. Because that makes it look like we're not doing anything dodgy backstage, doesn't it?
That's a great move.
Like, whoa. Do you know what I mean? Like, what a bizarre... Who came up with that in a boardroom somewhere and decided...
In my teaching recently, I've had numerous people saying, Simon, do you mind if I film while you're teaching? And I'm like, of course, it's absolutely fine. You know, I don't have any plans of doing anything that I'm not supposed to be doing, so you carry on.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was really interesting how people were like, they actually asked permission properly whether they could film or not.
Which I think is a good way, like from the conversation we had with Jay, I think it's nice that people see how... I don't even think that that's people asking if they can video you because they assume you're going to do something dodgy. I think it's that the public are aware of how much you can destroy someone's life so quickly.
Yeah, that is true. And, I mean, they weren't doing it in any way other than being really considerate. So,
yeah.
But I just found it interesting how, you know, people are really sensitive to that kind of stuff now.
See, I have a rule, which is, so at my clinics, I'll often be, I don't teach privately really, it'll all be at clinics. So there'll be between 8 and 12 riders, if you like, even though most of it's groundwork, and anywhere between 50 and 200 spectators. And my rule is that the person who is having the lesson can have their friend or someone from the audience video that person's lesson. So, you know, like, Bob can have his Bob's lesson videoed on Bob's phone. But I don't let members of the public take videos of people who are having lessons. But I do that because I do that for the safety of the pupils. Like you say, I know that I'm not going to knock a horse around or do anything. You know, I'm not ashamed of what I do. I treat horses well, so by all means, video me. But our general rule is, you know, you can't just video someone else having a lesson because I don't, maybe 99% of people in the world are nice people, but I don't, if someone's a beginner and they're having a novice lesson and they're a bit novicey in how they act and work with the horse, I don't want them being made fun of online and stuff by people. So it's like for the student's protection.
It's such, because it is such a thing now, isn't it? The, you know, being made fun of or the bullying online. So yeah, you've got to try and protect people, haven't you?
Yeah. Who's going to protect us?
What, from Jenny?
I sent you guys the video that's just come out. I think it was posted 5 days ago, and I started watching it. And I've watched most of it because I only discovered it last night. So finding the time to watch an hour and something. It's called Horses and the Science of Harmony.
I saw the link in the WhatsApp. I saw that you said that how long it was. And then I saw that you said that it was really good. And I thought, oh, blummin' heck, Jenny must be ill if she's got enough time to sit and watch an hour long video.
I think it's more than an hour long. It's like, my God, it is so long. I'm like been watching it around the kids. It's an hour and 17 minutes and 54 seconds. Now, I follow a lot of what goes on social media, and I saw this on Bubby Upton's stories because she's in it and shared. And I think this should be a central viewing for anyone who owns a horse, to be completely honest. But I would love it if they just broke it down into more bite size, because what is everyone's attention span nowadays for watching stuff? But yeah, this is a very long, but it is actually in sections when you watch it. So there's a bit about how horses see, how horses hear, what horses, how horses taste, how they smell, about tack fitting. I mean, it's just, it's absolutely fucking brilliant. It's so interesting. But again, you need an hour and 17 minutes to be able to watch it. I would love it if they broke it down and put it out in bite-sized bits.
But it's also been brought out by Sue Dyson, who is one of the most amazing vets that has introduced this pain ethogram. She's really fascinating, really interesting lady. So it's no wonder it's a good view.
Yeah, and it is. And it's, I think it's an American lady who's made it, because it's an American voiceover. There is a slight frustration for me in this is just so brilliant. And it's, how is it to make TV from someone who makes TV and has made things like this? how you make something like this appealing for especially a younger audience who are used to TikTok and 30-second videos. Do you know what I mean? Like making someone sit through the entire thing when it is such important information. I feel like opening with, oh, this, I don't know whether I should say this. Should I say it?
We don't know what you're going to say.
I can. Well, it opens with Bubby. Now, I love Bubby and I think she is brilliant and what she has been through is amazing. But I feel like a lot of people watching it, opening on an eventer who, and the story about Bubby is incredible, how she's fallen off, she's come back from adversity. Like what that girl has done is incredible. But opening with an eventer who events at top level, I know a lot of people will straight away go, I don't want to watch that.
Do you think?
That's going to be very elitist. That's not going to be for me. Yeah, because I know what the public are like. Not public, but a few people are like.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like opening on horses can't see this colour and horses can't see if their head's there. And then going into Bubby's story would have people a little bit hooked.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
I know what you mean. It just makes me cross like, that people are like that. But then, like, that same person that would be, like, into horses and against that because it's elitist follows the bloody Kardashians on Facebook and Instagram and thinks they're great. Oh, what? Because they're not rich and elitist. But it, you like, it's almost like, no. If you're going to be educational, I can't be okay with your wealth or your success. However, like, if I just want to watch your vapid nonsense, the more wealth and success you have, the better. And I think that's a frustrating, like, sorry, side note.
It is frustrating, but it is very true. And that is how that's how it is.
I know, because we all see this horse world separately, don't we? Are there eventers, they're dressage riders, they're show jumpers, or I do Liberty. For me, it's all about that love of the horse. And that's what I think we're trying to promote. It doesn't matter what you come from, whatever you want to do. But what I'm saying is I'm urging people, if you watch it and you start it off and it starts with an eventer, don't be put off because it is all about the science of the horse. And it is so fascinating. And it's a lot of stuff I knew already.
But I do think that Bubby comes across beautifully at the beginning. Like
she does. She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant.
And her love for particularly that horse Cola is really evident to see in that footage. You can like kind of it. But I do know what you mean. Like so in lots of ways they've done a really, really good job, but I know what you mean. Like perhaps they've started it because like you say, you need to like grab someone's attention to start with, and just having a story because we have heard that story a fair bit about Bubby and how she's come back, and it's an amazing story, like you say, but it's been like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. Move on.
Yeah. And also a lot of people really don't like top level eventing. They think it's mean, and when you look in there's comments already on their social media underneath it. And one of the first comments is, it's a very romantic, beautiful presentation, but I don't understand why people need to ride with whips and spurs. It was the first comment underneath it. So they'd obviously only watched this first bit, hadn't even watched the whole show and how educational it was, and were already slagging it off. Oh, I still don't understand why the highest level of dressage or jumping is not performed without a bridle and headstall totally free and in liberty. That should be the goal.
Because it's blooming hard. I can name about three people in the universe that I know that could do that, and all three of them trained the horse to do it in a blooming bridle. So, like, let's knock some of the, do you know what I mean? The crap off that as well. That there could be someone out there, and I'm sure there are, but people who I know of that could actually ride a full Grand Prix level test in order, in all the movements, correctly, without a bridle. I can think of three people, and all of them trained the horse to Grand Prix in a bridle. And then they've got it going bridleless afterwards. So, yeah. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's that stigma that annoys me. That they're like...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
This is why we need to do the link between the two.
Yeah.
So this is the next comment. I hadn't read this before. I've literally just opened this. But constant videos showing highest ranking in the Olympics, and the FEI is doing nothing about eventers who abuse horses even when there is proof. Too much money, power, egos at the expense of horses. Both dressage hunters, jumpers, barrel racers, they also need to use less bits, whips if they aren't good, and horse also enjoys using bitless bridles. Just skeptical is this video is just a fluff piece to calm casual horse people. Now, again, this is what I mean in the opening is, again, I do not want to take away from how brilliant Bubby is with her horses, but it opens on a top level eventer who's got a lovely yard, beautiful horses. So it feels like people haven't gone past that opening to, which is, I sent you guys, watch 53 minutes in, which is about what is the things the horses need. They need friendship, freedom, and the forage. Three F's. Those are the forage, three freedom, things, friends. The three F's. Yeah, those are the things
Ben
horses need to be happy.
Yeah.
So that's what they're talking about. And then they've done this amazing study on what horses do in stables. And if you take the middle partition of a stable out so horses can talk to their friends, they literally, they're showing videos about horses just sitting and resting their heads on each other. And that's how they stand. And they're less on alert.
Have you seen my stables?
I have seen your stables.
With the back wall taken out so they can groom.
Exactly. So this is what I'm saying. Because they opened on elite sport, people aren't getting to the science that is such a simple thing for everyone to do. Go and get your bridle checked by a professional, and they show the science of why that's happening. So that is, so I just, what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't matter your opinion on top level sport. What, even if you own a horse or whatever you do, even if it's just sitting in the field, this video will help you understand your horse better.
So we're going to, can we, is there a way for us, you run all the grown-up stuff for this, is yeah. there a way that we can we put a link to this video on YouTube in our
yeah,
podcast?
I think so.
Thing, I think, yeah, we, I will. If we want more people to see it, then we may as well give it a
shout out. Yes,
give it a hand.
I agree.
What's it called again?
Yeah.
Horses and Science of Harmony.
Horses.
Oh, it's so fascinating.
Horses and then the little and sign, like the little like. Horses and the Science of Harmony.
The Science of Harmony. And it also talks about, which I just think is so fascinating. And Ben, you came up with this thing when we were talking about, is this the end pod? You talked about how we can measure pressure on horses and maybe more marks could be awarded for less pressure and things like that. But how we do that. And it talks about the science of how your leg aid then sends a message to the horse's brain. And this tiny area we use to communicate with the horse, which has to teach them how to canter, how to go backwards, how to go forwards, how to trot. And it's this tiny area. And what do they call it? They call it neural fatigue, which I think is so interesting. So overuse of this area or incorrect use of this area, basically it just shuts it down and they show the science behind it. And I have said it to so many people. I would rather see a horse with a little tap on the bum from a long whip than constant kicking, because I've taught in riding schools for years and those horses literally are just what I would say dead to the leg. But I think the posh term is neural fatigue. But and then what they can see and different color poles, and they're talking about just letting them smell the tack before you put it on because their senses are so good. Honestly, we could talk about it for hours. It's such a good piece of information.
Well,
but
should me and Simon go in a way and try and find the time to watch the blooming thing? And then we could actually talk about it on a podcast.
Exactly. Let's do it. Read, watch more of it and we will discuss again. I think if you're a good horse person, and you know that term horseman, I think people who have that natural innate ability with horses, which I don't think everyone does have, which we've discussed before.
I think there are very few people that have that.
I think a lot of these videos is just basically the science behind what you know already. Because if you understand horses, you know how good their smell is. You know how they can see. They can't see. If a child's giving them a carrot, they can't see that child because their vertical vision isn't as good as their horizontal vision. Mm. And I've always said to people, how do you stroke a horse? I'm like, don't just go straight for its nose below its eyes. It can't see your hand. So it's like being poked with a finger between your eyeballs. I've always said that. And now I know the science behind it because I've just watched this video. So I think if you're a natural horseman, you know this stuff innately, but this gives you the science to be able to describe it to someone who maybe isn't as naturally aware.
There's so much stuff there, isn't there? Like I was talking to Helen West at Bicton, who designed the course at Bicton, and she runs Bicton Arena. And she was talking about how the horse's vision and how It's interesting how horses can't read certain things when it comes to like solid fences, and like if they're up at the side, that helps the horse get up in the air, and if they go downwards to the side, then that doesn't help the horse at all, and actually they then end up misreading stuff. And it's great to know that like people that are designing courses and are looking into this stuff and looking into the science of things, and that really helps the horse. Like she was saying that there was a fence at Burley years ago, which was like a mushroom fence. I don't know if you remember it, Jenny.
Yeah.
And lots of horses fell at it. But that's because it was going down at both sides. So the horses were misreading it because they obviously look from the side. Like their vision is as if they've got something in the middle of their forehead, so they can only see to either side or something like that.
Yeah, but so they can't see up and down as well as we can, but they can see their hip all the way back to their hip on that.
But they can't see directly, like right in the middle, can they? Because that's got that. And I just think that's it's great that people are like taking that seriously and looking into how the horses kind of react to things. I think that's great. I'd love to get Helen on, actually. She's really interesting.
She's really interesting. Ben, I saw you've got a new bit of equipment, and we're not talking about what you and George do in their bedroom. I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry.
Oh, my new ball on a stick.
The ball on the stick.
I love my ball on a stick.
Can you give it context for anyone who doesn't follow you on Instagram, which is probably only three people in the entire world, and
if
Simon.
If anybody's ever seen a horsemanship flag where they have like a telescopic stick and then a little flag on the end of it, and they use it to move horses or get them braver and stuff. Well, this is a little telescopic stick with a squishy red ball on the end. And you use it to teach horses to target train. So I've been doing it with a clicker. I've been using it to play with the idea of teaching a half pass to my pony at Liberty. So, because he's got the sideways and he can half pass under saddle. And then you've got the clicker like you do with a dog. And you basically sort of waft it around in front of the horse's nose, and then it will reach out and touch its nose on the ball. So you go click, treat. And then he got so that he would basically, wherever I put the red ball, he'll put his nose on it. And I've been having great fun with it. Oh, honestly, guys, like such small things make me so happy. But say I can lunge him, like I'm lunge him on a circle, and he'll just go around as his normal self. And then I pull out the long stick with the red ball on it. And if I put the ball on the floor in front of him, then he's like neck stretched out, nose on the floor as he trots trying to touch the ball. And then if I lift it up and bring it up, then he's got like flexion at Liberty, like, you know, bringing himself in. And then I've been playing on the floor, being like, OK, come sideways towards me, but touch your ball, touch your balls, touch your nose on the ball. And... using that to create the flexion to get a half pass at Liberty. Yeah, I'm having
the best that fun. That's pretty impressive, that is. I should try these things.
Yeah, well, I was like, this is... And I've started it with another young horse of mine who's never learnt half pass under saddle. And it's blooming learning it real quick. And I'm like, I wonder if stuff like this, helping them on the floor, especially because it's not like a, you know, we're not trying to move them into the position. It's just going like, look, walk sideways this way. And can you try and tilt your head this way while we do it? And then maybe, you know, I'm going to play with it with some of my young horses. You know, maybe does learning a movement like that sort of themselves within reason, then... would that transfer to them being more confident and competent with it under saddle later on? I don't know. But yeah, red ball on a stick.
Can I just tell you the other time where I've seen someone use this technique where you have a ball on the end of the stick and a clicker and treats?
Where?
On an iguana in the aquarium at Vancouver.
Really, really?
Not even joking. So it was amazing. So they had this giant iguana out. And basically, every time he walked over and put his nose on the ball, they clickered and gave him a treat to teach him. So, for example, if they need to do any veterinary treatment on him or weigh him, he can make his own choices to get on the scales because he follows the balls and put his noses on him. But also to, like, they can get his head up to check underneath him and all of these kind of things. So, yeah, they were using this. And they also used it on a sloth. So the Vancouver Aquarium is amazing. They've got sloths and those kind of animals. But they were using it on a sloth to just try and get the sloth, because sloths you can't pick up. They've got big claws, and they if they wrap around you, that's it. They're stuck on you. So they were using this tennis ball on the end of a stick to get the sloth to move to reach for his treats so they could check it over.
Perfect.
How cool is that? See?
Balls on sticks. That's where we're going in the world. Luke Gingerich horsemanship. He is, honestly, guys, check him out. He is phenomenal. I watched him last year and this year. And yeah, he's who I got this tool from. He's the guy who inspired me to work like this. I've watched him like do beautiful half passes, tempi changes, pirouettes, all with proper collection and flexion at liberty. So yeah, that is, jokes aside, he's a talented dude.
We will give him a shout. Anyway, so we've been talking for an hour and I have a feeling I'm going to have to do a lot of editing for this podcast.
I was about to tell you about my balls.
Yes, I want to hear about your
balls. We'd love to hear about your balls.
I've been, I don't even know what they're called, but I had a lesson with this lady and she brought a load of balls with her. And
Franklin. Are they?
Is what?
The Franklin. Are they called Franklin balls?
Oh, that could be it. But I like you put them under your seat bones or you put them underneath your, underneath your arm. You have to hold them and they've got water in and you have to hold them and keep your elbows by your sides to not let them drop. And then she's got these rubber bands, a rubber band that you put around your rib cage and then it puts your hands in the right place.
Oh, I've seen these things,
and
yes.
And you use them for 5 minutes because that's any longer than that and then they're less effective for muscle memory and all that kind of stuff. And it's really good. I'm really loosened up through my hips and all that. And the horses are actually moving better as a result. Well, I'm pretty sure that is what's doing it. Whether it's me thinking it, I don't know. But I think it's really cool. But yeah, and I'm getting used to sitting on balls.
Think it works. Do you ever do that thing as a kid where you stand in a door frame and push out with both hands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you keep pushing and you keep pushing and then eventually you relax and you walk out of it. And without you wanting to, your arms go up.
Yes, that's exactly
I've had a lesson,
isn't it?
Yeah, I've had a lesson with these before. And you're riding and you've got one under here and one under... And you're like, what the blooming? Yep. I feel awful. And then when they take them away, your body is just like...
Yeah. Well, because she's got these this kind of double-ended ball.
We are sailing right into the wind,
and it's it goes on under your bum and on both seat bones, and you have to roll back and roll backs and forwards on it, and then and you have to put that for 5 minutes, and then they take it off, and oh my god, you just feel like you're totally part of the horse. Then it's amazing.
Wow,
you should try it, Jenny. I'll bring them with me.
If I had a horse to sit on, I would.
I said that my farrier was my double ended one was on the mountain block, and he came in this morning. He's like, "Oh, what's that?" And he went to pick it up, and I was like, "Oh, that's my ball. I sit on that." And he's like, "Ooh, I'm not touching that."
God! Right. Okay,
sorry,
moving
team.
Away from double ending and balls.
and my rubbers.
And your rubbers. I'm feeling as light as a feather. We put questions out on Instagram last week, Ben, and this was my favourite question, and I think it should become a feature, or at least be asked to you. Okay. Simon's response to it was hilarious. What is your equestrian ick? Simon's is people who wears boots that are too short.
And smoking on horses.
Equestrian ick. People who sock them in the mouth when they're not happy with them. Do you know when you're watching someone ride and then they'll just do that, ooh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can make me go from thinking that person can go from the highest esteem in my eyes to
nothing.
Just what a prat. That or grooms that hit horses when the groom's tired. It doesn't need to be a groom, but anybody who... Oh, there's the theme park going out
again.
That's
yes.
The second one this time.
Is it often that you get to toot Jenny's horn twice in one session, Simon?
I love Jenny's horn, especially twice.
You're the worst. For anyone who's wondering what that noise was, that's the Mine Museum I live next to beeping, which the boys find hilarious.
Which she did explain in a pod recently. Well, one of the first pods, wasn't it?
Ages ago.
We found it really interesting. We enjoyed that.
We did.
You have to come to Canada and I can take you round where the horn is.
Do we get to pull it?
Boop, boop.
No, you don't. Well, you two probably could because you'll probably ask. I don't think people do normally ask. Can I add to your bit about pulling horses in the gob?
Yeah.
Because I think this could be my question, Ick, as well. You know when someone's sat on a horse and they want to talk to someone behind them and they just turn round, but at the same time as they're turning round, they yank the horse in the gob to turn the horse at the same time?
Yeah.
And finally, boys, what's annoyed you this week? Apart from Ben.
Oh, I wanted to talk about, actually, going back to the previous podcast, when we talked about what annoyed me, and I said that what annoyed me was people standing with their horse loose in, like, an outdoor school or in the field, and then they just suddenly run off, and then the horse chases them. And somebody did that, and because I've seen it before, and it really annoys me anyway, and I saw someone do it, and then the horse kicked them in the head, because it was chasing to catch them up. And people were saying, oh, you know, isn't that horse horrible? Like, you know, and I just was like, is that not really bad for you as well, Ben? Or like,
so I see why people want to do it, because they think if the horse chases them, then they're happy and everyone's, do you know what I mean? And it's the dream relationship. But I guess it's just the same as anything else. You wouldn't, with me, with anything with horses, you want to know what you're unleashing with an animal when you go for it. So for the same thing, if I'm riding a young horse early in its journey and we go down a stubble field and go for a canter, I'm probably not going to open that thing up and be like, go on, like I'm doing my gallop down the long side and throw it at them, because I might end up with more energy than I know how to handle. You know, that could push that horse over the edge. A big part of like how I train Liberty and how a lot of trainers I know train it, the boring stuff you do at the beginning is to make you safe when you do the high energy stuff later on. And that is a big thing. So like, I'm not sure, I know what you mean. It's a different type of getting annoyed. When I see a lot of those videos, it's more like an eye roll, like, how did you think that was going to end? Like, yeah. You know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah.
But I said it was like natural selection.
We'll get cancelled. We should do a Darwin Awards. Equestrian version.
An Equestrian Darwin Awards.
Of people. Yes. But like I saw one the other day of a girl sat on a bucket in a paddock with a broodmare and foal. And the broodmare's eating out the bucket, and then the foal comes up, and she goes to stroke the foal, and the broodmare just swings round and cracks her with both back feet. Mm. And you're like, what did you think? Do you know, like, what? So, yeah, I think it's, if you put yourself into a situation that you've never been in with a horse, you do not know that you are going to be safe. And that doesn't matter if it's jumping around your first big cross-country course, putting it on a lorry for the first time, or trying to run about with it on the floor at Liberty like you never have before. And you can probably do that math on yourself. Like, if you go to if your horse gallops with the other horses in the field, what's it normally do? It jumps and kicks around and stuff. So yeah. If you've not done any training to show that horse that you don't want it to act like that, that that's not safe, or when it needs to act like that, it should direct that energy away from you, then you are opening yourself up to problems. Yeah,
right. I also need to make an apology.
Oh, yeah, you Why? Do, don't you?
I got in trouble, Ben.
Why, what have you done?
She's been a bad girl.
If you listened to the last podcast, you'd know.
Oh, come on.
I may have slagged off corgis.
screw them.
No,
I mean, you didn't slag them off, to be fair.
I love corgis, but I love any animal more than humans. I love corgis, but I do think there's, in Maryland where I was working, they had corgi racing. I've probably seen one corgi in my entire life in England. In Maryland, literally hundreds of them. Now, corgis, right. A lot of them like can be very sweet and have them at home. But a lot of the ones I've met, because they are bred for cattle herding and working dogs, they may look small and cute, but actually they're quite tough, stubborn. And I think my terms were absolute little shits on the podcast. Because I think unless you give them lots of exercise, they can be like a lot of animals. They're not as cute and cuddly as maybe they're made out to be. So anyway, I did say that they were little shits, and on this corgi racing in Maryland, most of them were just attacking each other. I saw like three people get bitten at this competition.
Right, so what's the problem?
Well, the week that the podcast went out also happened to be the Southampton, southwest of England or something, big corgi get together. And apparently people who were corgi racing also listened to our podcast.
They weren't very happy with Jenny.
Well, no, they did send laughing emojis, but they also said they're not all annoying little shits. So I do love corgis and I do apologise, but a lot of the corgis I have met maybe should do more than just sit at home because they are very clever.
Jenny, if you're going to apologise, I'd probably stop reminding people that you don't like them. Just say you're sorry, corgis are lovely.
Oh no, I do like corgis. Maybe I don't like the owners that have them when they're little shits because they're not.
This apology is going really badly.
I
really like corgis. I just hate their owners.
No, not all of them. The ones that I saw in the Maryland, a lot of them were just not very well trained. Shall we put it that way?
You can tell you live in Canada now, disrespecting the dog choice of our late queen. That's it.
The people. Love the queen. Don't bring Elizabeth into this.
You said that you don't like people that own corgis.
Well, I didn't mean Lizzie. I was a big fan. Me and Liz go way back.
Oh,
I was a big fan of the queen. I cried for days, nay, weeks when she died. I think the queen was quite like on it, though, with her corgis. But anyway,
Jenny, you're not doing very well in this podcast, are you, my love?
But I do like corgis. Can we just get that across? I've just met a lot of them that were little shitbags.
Just the odd one you think's little shit.
And I think if one's a shitbag, one has to look maybe at the owner. That's all I'm saying. Stop laughing at me, Ben.
I kind of feel like there's some tumbleweed just flying across right now.
Okay. No, anyway, I do like...
That's hatred from the owners of corgis going towards Jenny. That's what that was.
I know. Well, if your corgi is not a little shit, then obviously you're a nice corgi owner. But anyway, I've said corgis a lot. If you say corgi lots, it sounds a bit weird, doesn't it? Corgi, corgi, corgi. Anyway, I like corgis. They're not all shits, just some of them. And I do like corgi owners. I don't actually know any corgi owners. The one on Instagram that's following us is very cute, can I just say? And I followed them back on Instagram. The corgi. It's got its own Instagram page, and I'm a big fan, and I'm going to give it a shout out because it's really bloody cute. It's called... I think also my dog might be part corgi, Maverick. So I feel like I've... And okay, he's called O'Brien the Corgi.
Oh, that's very cute.
It's very cute. For anyone listening, I'm showing them a picture of the corgi. So follow O'Brien the Corgi because it's very cute. And there's a video of it doing corgi racing. Oh, and some dog agility.
Get off your phone.
And reading a book.
So Ben, what are you doing this week coming? We got anything lined up?
A podcast with us on Friday.
Your horse live prep.
What are you doing at your horse?
Education on Friday, and then I'm just doing a little performance at the end of some kind of dressage spectacular or something on the weekend. Thanks. So that'll be nice. Yeah.
Cool.
Taking some young horses out, so we'll see how they get on. But all prep's going well, but yeah, it's sort of doing all of that really at the moment.
What about you, Jen?
I think you need to prep them to have a shut up and ride stage there next year.
Yeah, I think we could do a good shut up and ride stage.
I think it would be excellent. What about me this week? I am not very much because I don't have any horses to ride and the weather's shit. I know. I had a cry last night because I missed Finn so much. I know. So feel very grateful that even if it's raining, you get to go and play with your ponies.
Yeah, very grateful.
Yeah.
I miss my pony a lot. Anyway, that's a depressing way to end the podcast. Well, I wish you had fucking arse now.
If you need something to ride, maybe you can borrow Simon's double-ended balls.
Yes, you could.
Also, make sure you go and enter the Charles Owen hat competition, people. Just draw a shape of a hat and send it to Charles Owen. There's a post about it on our Instagram.
I'll reshare.
Because please, for the love of God, can we design him something outrageous? I feel like I need to get my own back in some way, shape or form for his lack of response on messages. So do it, people. Got till the 14th of November to enter. And the prizes are really good. You win a lot of Charles Owen
prizes
stuff
are really
and you get
good.
To meet Ben and go to a performance and all of that stuff. So, yeah, and maybe an invite to the pub pod if they're old enough. But anyway, you, Simon, what are you up to this week?
Me, I am I'm going to the Spooktacular show on Friday at Arena UK because it's Halloween. And then I'm teaching in Norfolk for 2 days and I'm doing it alongside Nicola Wilson. So that should be quite cool. Yeah.
Oh my God, she's a ledge.
She is absolute ledge. And yeah, then some more shows next week. So yeah, all good. Exciting.
When you see her, can you tell her that I thought her commentary at Badminton and Burley and all of these places is just incredible? I think she's amazing.
I will tell her. I'll tell her
a hero.
I'll tell her she needs to come on the pod at some point.
Yes. You must. And you need to tell Becky Moody, who you're doing something with, that she needs to come on the pod.
Yeah. I'll speak with
Do you
Becky.
Know why I want Becky Moody on? I just want to go, I say Jaeger, you say bomb. Jaeger.
Bomb.
Jaeger.
Bomb.
I just really want to do that to her and see if she does it.
Jesus.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
We need to do one in person with Becky Moody and just plough Jaeger bombs all the way through it.
That'd be so good. Pub pod.
We could rename drinks at the pub pod. Like, a Jaeger bomb's actually a Becky Moody.
Yes, yes. Gin and tonic. A gin and tonic is a Laura Collett.
Yes, G&T.
Love
oh,
it.
Oh, a Negroni is Jay Hallam.
It's Jay Hallam.
And we need to get a Gemma Stevens on Friday.
All right, we'll find out what her drink is. What would be your drink, Simon? Ben's is a Corona.
I mean, mine would probably be gin and tonic, but maybe rum and coke.
A rum and coke is a Simi.
I would be bourbon if I was having a drink.
Oh, a bourbon. We're doing a Ben.
I think I'd probably be Verve, actually.
Verve.
Because I'm so classy. Oh, or maybe not.
Mine would be a porn star martini. Bloody love a porn star martini. Do you know the person who got me onto porn star martinis? Laura Collett.
Who was it?
Yeah, I'd never had one until I went out boozing with her. And that's who got me onto porn star martinis. And she also taught me about, because they're also known as passion fruit martinis, you can get them from M&S in a can and they're bloody delicious and deceptively alcoholic. And I had to message her once after I'd had two and I was off my face.
I love espresso martini.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I love an espresso martini. Mm. Yum.
All right. This is all to be confirmed on the pub pod. So anyway, make sure you follow us and Charles Owen and get entering that competition. Ben, Simi, I'm going to see you on Friday because we have the wonderful Gemma Stevens knee tassel on it. I still can't get used to calling her Gemma Stevens.
No, me neither. Gemma Tat.
Have to. Gemma Tat. Ben is going to secretly swat up on eventing before then and find out who Gemma is. But it's good to have you back, Benji. Go back and listen to our Laura Collett episode because it's bloody brilliant.
But don't worry, Ben, if you don't, which you won't, we will guide you through, so you'll be fine. Don't stress.
I'll put it on my Instagram stories. I'll be like, guys, it's not an ask me anything, it's like tell me things about this person.
That is such a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
That is such a good idea. And let's all watch so we know more about how to be with our horses. Watch the Horses and the Science of Harmony video because it's bloody brilliant.
On YouTube.
On YouTube. Yeah, we'll share it. But anyway, boys, it's been a pleasure. Brighten my day. And all that is left to say is sponsored by Charles Owen. Go and shut up and ride.
Shut up and ride, 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 ride. Shut up.
Oh, Ben, you're so cool.
I love the fact that I'm still recording. And this is going in the edit.